How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Got a very busy show here today. Jim Valley joining us in studio, as he is most Fridays, as a way to set up his show on Saturday here on Sports Byline USA. If you don't know by now, every Saturday at 1 Eastern, Jim Valley is live on Wrestling Observer Live. Same link, same sports byline, same tune-in radio. He's here every Saturday, including tomorrow. And if we don't hear everything today, maybe we'll hear everything tomorrow, Jim. So maybe it'll be your day to talk about this.
I just got back into town. I texted Brian this morning going, hey, do you need me to come in? Is it okay? I didn't want to surprise you or anything. And Brian texts, it's a huge news day. So I'm excited to hear what's going to break, when it breaks. You know, you don't always text that kind of stuff to me, so I'm very, very curious what we're talking about or what we will be talking about.
Well, I'll tell everyone what I can tell everyone after the first break. But I do want to mention, obviously, that tickets went on sale today for the Boston and Philadelphia AEW events, and they both sold out. Now, granted, the buildings were smaller. The Boston show, 4,500 seats. And the Philadelphia show, I'm not sure the capacity, but they sold nearly 8,000 seats in about an hour. And both shows are now completely sold out. So I figured, I was certain that the first show was going to sell out because it was history. But like the other shows, I wasn't sure. Maybe they'll sell out, maybe they won't. I was leaning against them being immediate sellouts. I was wrong. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. But what I was not wrong about, even though I was wrong about this, is that every time they exceed my expectations. Like every time. So this cannot go on forever. Okay, this one I can guarantee. This can't go on forever. But now, when you talk about the fourth and fifth and sixth television, I ain't gonna say anything. We'll just have to wait and see. Back in a moment with Mike Sempervivi and more Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Jim Valley joining us here today. So we're going to talk more about AEW ticket sales in a moment, but I just want to address something since everyone's asking me about it. I probably should know better, but what the hell. So I woke up this morning and I heard some news. And
oh boy.
Let's put it this way. I was floored when I heard this news, okay? So, I tweeted out this morning, this is probably going to be a crazy newsworthy day, so buckle up. Now, notice I wrote, this is probably going to be a crazy newsworthy day. I didn't say week. I didn't say weekend. I said day, all right? I'm not trying to tease everybody here like Mean Gene on the hotline. When this story comes out, you'll understand why I did everything I did, okay? The whole point of all of this is when I heard this story at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, so that's what, 12:30 Eastern, okay? Mm-hmm. When I heard this story, I'll just put it this way. Enough people heard this that the idea that this would not be out by the time that we did this show today is, like, it's inconceivable to me that this is not out yet, okay? It's inconceivable to me. But it's not out yet. Now, you're probably asking, well, why don't you say something about it other than what you said?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, what I was told pretty much floored me, okay? Now, there is a possibility that what was told to me, like, how can I say this? I guarantee that there is big news coming, okay? I guarantee it. Now, the news is either, like, it's big news, okay? Or it's huge. And whether it's big or it's huge hinges on whether somebody misspoke, all right? When I first heard this, I thought somebody had to have misspoken, okay? That's what I thought. So, it's not confirmed yet, but in the last 3 hours, I mean, the impression I've been given is that nobody misspoke, all right? So, I'm thinking that this is going to be huge. I still think it has to be out before the end of the day today. But if it's not, When it gets out, I will tell everybody what happened and why I did everything that I did. But it will make sense when and if all of the, well, when all of this comes out one way or the other, whether it's the big news or whether it's the huge news. So that's it, everybody. Hey, listen, it may be out by the end of the show. I hope it's out by the end of the show. I want to talk about it. Okay? But until it is, I do not want to influence. Report what I heard and have everybody go crazy. And then it turns out that somebody misspoke. And while the news would still be big, it would not be as big as the story that I was told this morning. This is not one that you want to mess up. So just hang out, everybody. And by the way, one more thing. And this is going to make people angry as well, but I don't care. I'm just telling you what's going on. Dave also tweeted something a couple of days ago, okay, saying that shots were fired in this war.
Yes. Are you borrowing Dave's gun for this story?
Listen, I can tell you that these two things are different, okay? I don't know what his story was, but it's not the same. I can tell you that. So, like I said, I don't know what his shot in the war is. He wouldn't tell me. He didn't tell me on the show the other day. But I can guarantee that it's different than the story that I'm talking about here. So we got two big stories coming up. And yes, everyone's going, well, is it WWE related or is it AEW related? Everybody. Everything WWE related is AEW related. Do you understand? The stuff, none of this stuff that's happening is a coincidence. Roman Reigns re-signing a new deal, blah, 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 all of this stuff. Everything is AEW related if it's WWE related. So that's also the answer to your question there. Any other questions I can't answer? Okay. Mike, your thoughts on AEW selling out already?
Not too surprised. Again, I'm a little surprised in Philadelphia going as fast as it did, but I know that the Boston
8,000 tickets in 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean that number was impressive. I thought it was going to sell out. I thought it may actually take an entire day. It didn't, you know, only took a couple hours again. But Temple, perfect size building for what they're going to run in. It's been run in before, so the guys that are going to be doing the production and everything, I would assume, are going to already be familiar with it. So not surprising, it's a hotbed for them. Only 4,000 seats up for grabs in Boston. So again, I know it's a Wednesday night, it's school, blah, 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 but look, it's also on campus when school's in session. 4,000 is not many for a place that's been doing fine demographics for them. So again, I'm not surprised by any of this. We're going to have to see as things go along if we get any hints as they continue to roll out whatever cities they're going to run in, Milwaukee or Detroit or Chicago, and it's obviously all speculation. But, you know, as they start to roll these out, getting a reaction from them to see how bullish they are, because they announced these dates, and the feeling really that I got from people at AEW has been they were extremely confident in what was going to take place. So we'll see how confident they continue to be as things roll along, because as you mentioned, you know, they cannot continue to keep striking, you know, going 100% every time out. No, it will not.
Even if you dislike the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega or whomever, you want this to succeed. You want this for the good of the industry. You want them
not everybody.
You want them to maintain this passion with wrestling fans, and hopefully a rising tide will raise some more boats. Hopefully we can build some more excitement. And, you know, unless you're Vince McMahon, this really is good for everyone. Right now, AEW is everyone's favorite promotion because we're all imagining that all of our favorites are going to win and they're going to do all the angles and things that we want to see. And come October, that is not going to be the case, and it's all going to shake out. And I just hope that they are able to maintain at least part of this momentum, if not most of it, and keep things going. And I also think it's cool that they're succeeding by doing something different. They're not going back to the Monday Night Wars. They're not trying to recreate something. What they're doing is tapping into a younger base, and I hope that base sticks around for the good of the industry, and we can bring down some of those average ages who watch wrestling.
Yeah, I agree with everything Jim said. I just, you know, one thing is, it, you know, you say it may not be good for Vince. Actually, He doesn't realize it, but damn it, it will be good for Vince because other people, if any success that AEW has is going to be looked at as a chink in WWE's armor, and whatever it takes to have them try to change course and to have things get back on track, you know, the sooner that can happen, the better. I'm not saying it's going to. God knows how they're going to react. We see how they've reacted in some ways already, but, you know, down the line, any success that AEW has, even though it may look like a negative to Vince McMahon, in reality, it's only can be good for that company. With all the resources they have, you know, anything that they can glean from AEW, that what they do right and can apply through their own self, you know, and that's going to be a massive improvement.
So the tickets for the show sold out, and they have announced matches. The third show is going to feature world title defenses for the men and the women. And a question for all of you here, because I had somebody in WWE ask me this question. They said, do you think that AEW is making a mistake by announcing all of these matches this far in advance? Because WWE can then counter-program. And it is a good question. I mean, in the old days, and actually anywhere in the world except WWE, well, I guess in probably, you know, AAA and CMLL, I guess, to a degree, but you announce your card, and that's how you sell tickets. Because that's the idea. Do you want to see a world title defense? Well, buy your ticket. Of course, in WWE, it's like, you know, they months in advance announce matches and they announce who's going to be there. But, you know, by the time they get there, I mean, there's no guarantee any of those matches are going to take place. And so it's not really, I mean, people buy WWE tickets because WWE is coming to town. Like, nobody's going to buy tickets 3 months in advance expecting to see an AJ Styles-Roman Reigns match, because God only knows if you're going to see that match 3 months from now. But I'm quite confident that if they announced world title matches on the third show, they're going to have world title matches on the third show. So I guess the question after the break is, if you are AEW, do you announce these matches this far ahead of time, knowing that WWE, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, NXT, is going to counter-program as a result of what you are putting on the air? So that'll be the question when we come back from the break. If you want to give us a call here today, phone number 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages 425-780-7566. Byline stream is down, and it might be me, so we'll be right back. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up? A couple of things. I was wondering if AEW is sustainable, even if they only sell like half of their entrances, like after this.
You mean if they only sell half the tickets?
Sponsorships? Yeah, is it still sustainable? Is it still profitable?
I don't know. I mean, if they're renting very, very expensive, if they're losing money in every show because they're renting very expensive buildings and not selling all the tickets, I mean, I still don't know, because they're getting sponsorship money from TNT, and I don't think they're, if they're not selling enough tickets to sell larger buildings, they're going to rent out smaller buildings. So I wouldn't be concerned that they're going to be losing large amounts of money, and that's the last thing we need to be talking about today, by the way. I think they'll be okay.
And just a little off topic, I was listening back to some of the old Nitros and Raws, and I was at the one where Triple H and Stephanie had just gotten married, and it's just hilarious to look back, and it's just amazing, like the butterfly effect. Like if Kevin Kelly wasn't there, that might not have happened, because I think he was on the Talk is Jericho, and he was talking about how it was his idea that Stephanie and Triple H would kind of get together in storyline.
Oh, look at this guy. Taking credit for the entire history of pro wrestling, good and bad. I mean, maybe he was. I mean, who knows? I mean, I want to thank you very much for the call. Yes. I mean, Hunter, who knows?
Kevin Kelly.
Hunter's not an idiot.
Kevin Kelly seems pretty straightforward and honest. I
believe him.
I believe him, yeah. If he says that, I believe him.
Yeah.
By the way, what a great job he's doing.
He's the best.
Japan. He's the best, literally.
Yeah.
And to be doing it for as long as he has and still being improving and so engaged with everything, that is just more credit to him as a broadcaster and to someone who's invested in the company and has passion for pro wrestling.
So it appears the stream is still down. Hopefully the Byline people hear this and can get to work on it. But in the meantime, a couple of things. First off, start with you, Mike. Would you promote matches this far in advance if you were AEW?
Absolutely. Sure. You know, it doesn't hurt anything at all to promote a big fight, a big event. And whether WWE wants to believe this or not, anything they do from this point, you know, it is them counter-programming. It is them having to respond. And if you're AEW right now, with all the confidence that you have moving forward into this new venture, that's only going to serve to help you. Now, because of WWE's resources, you know, plenty of things could happen. You know, AEW could be counter-programmed. AEW could be squeezed in many ways. You know, if they have a pay-per-view on a Sunday, WWE could do load things up on... There's a zillion one things they could do. But until WWE does something that, you know, causes AEW some grief and has got some good enough product to go bump up against AEW, it's nothing's going to matter. You can bring back Steve Austin or something to talk on Skype, but if wrestling fans want to see a match between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley or whoever, whatever they have announced for a show, that's what they're going to want to watch. So WWE is going to have to respond to that in kind and in a right way, or whatever they do is going to fall flat, and it's not going to help them in the eyes of fans. You know, it's going to help them even less. So, you know, for at least right now, I'm completely fine with what AEW is doing. And I think, you know, they have some significant psychological advantages, you know, going into what's going to be going on this fall with WWE.
I think they're darned if they do, they're darned if they don't. And given that, I like the idea that they're promoting these things, because right now, people do want to be a part of history. The first show. Oh my gosh, it's the first world title match on television for AEW. And with that fan base right now so passionate and so hungry for the product, I think it's good to give them these breadcrumbs to follow so they continue to stay with the show. And particularly in the beginning, I think WWE is probably going to try to counter-program no matter what, whether it's a world title match or it's just going to be a squash match. Particularly in the beginning, I would think that WWE is going to throw all they can at the wall to see what they can get to stick to try to take as much momentum or slow things down for AEW. But from an observer standpoint, I like the fact that they are booking this far out and they appear to have plans and have a vision and know what they're doing. That gives me hope that there's going to be some great storylines and they're going to take us on some fun rides in the near future as far as all the things that play out on television.
And that's it. And because they're new and they're not switching course to do this, because they're new, this is going to have to keep them honest with how they develop characters, with how they keep them important, with how they keep them relevant and strong, with how they book and how they look forward. Not everything is going to go off without a hitch. Somebody's going to blow an ankle out on a Saturday night show the day before, you know, a couple days before they're supposed to do a live Wednesday. Not everything is going to work out, you know, according to plan for them. But because they are setting things up in the way that they are going to have to build around it, and they are going to have to maintain their word with what they put out there as far as storylines matter and stats matter and these things that plenty of us old wrestling fans, things that we appreciated, are things that we want back and things that we think are important. So I think it's going to keep them honest, and I think that's a good thing.
It was announced today, AAA's Invading New York show has been moved from Madison Square Garden to the Hulu Theater at MSG. Both venues are owned by the Madison Square Garden Company. Hulu Theater lists a capacity of 5,600 people. Those who have already purchased tickets will be guaranteed a new seat assignment of equal or greater value. So you know what that means. They sold less than 5,600 tickets. So the show, September 15th.
Surprise.
And are you guys aware of the main event for this AAA show now at the Hulu Theater? Anybody?
Is it Sam Adonis and Kane Velasquez?
The main event of this show is Blue Demon Jr. versus Dr. Wagner Jr., mask versus hair. What?
That's right.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the one we just saw at Triple Mania that was a retirement match for Dr. Wagner Jr.
The one that was broadcast all over the world.
Yes, yeah. They are doing a rematch of the retirement match.
Maybe that's why they didn't mention the Madison Square Garden show on the Triple Mania broadcast.
$29.99 if you want to grab it on Fight TV. And they're also going to the Forum in Inglewood, California, Sunday, October 13th. And for all I know, that might be a rematch of that same match as well. We'll see how much hair Dr. Wagner Jr. can grow back in between each of these big shows here.
Well, how much did he buy?
He's having an amazing retirement. I will say that.
It's true.
It's the most amazing retirement I've ever seen.
I wish I could main event Madison Square Garden during my retirement.
Yeah.
I don't. Them running, that was always a bad idea, though, to begin with. I don't know what they're paying for the Forum, but I mean, just the thought of them running the Garden, and then it seemed like they knew it was a bad idea. They had cold feet going into it, and they didn't mention anything during Triple Mania. And the fact that they're even in the theater right now is a surprise, but I guess it's a face-saving move, although I would love to know exactly what they sold ticket-wise. I bet you it was less than 2,500.
Triple A frustrates me so much because they do have a lot of tools where they could be successful and probably attract an audience that doesn't know they exist in the United States, but they just have technical issues and communications and things that just... I feel like they're maybe the time has already passed, but a few years ago with some of the Triple Manias, I thought that they had some real opportunities. I remember when Conan said, oh, we're going to be on TV, and then it turned out to be Lucha Underground, a completely different product than the AAA product, and I just felt like there was a time where AAA could have maybe done something and capitalized on an audience, but maybe that time's passed.
And, you know, Triple Mania was fun, too, and that somebody had called and asked Brian, you know, who's somebody that they thought AEW should pick up. And one person didn't name, but can name now, Black Taurus, you know, and the work that he did in that match with Cain Velasquez. I'd love to see more of him. And, you know, unfortunately, it's probably not going to be through watching AAA too much. I forget they exist on Twitch and stuff like that. So hopefully he's one of those guys that gets picked up along the way, because he did a yeoman's effort, you know, put in a yeoman's effort in that match, helping out Cain Velasquez.
All right, to the phones, you're on the air. What's up?
Sitting Duck, Vancouver Island. How's it going, boys?
What's happening?
Not bad. Just got to let you know your stream is down.
I'm well aware. You had to call to tell me that? What else is on your mind?
Thanks, Doc.
I honestly called to listen into the show, but now that I got you on the line, I got to talk to you about this Fiend debut. Now, I'm not saying he is a negative. I'm just saying its best is behind it. That's all I'm saying.
Who?
The Fiend.
Oh, the
Bray
Fiend.
Wyatt.
The Fiend.
Yeah.
You think his best is behind him?
Yeah, for this character, I think so. I mean, he's had cool characters before. This is no different. It's another cool character. But I think once you're past the vignette, past the creativity of the gimmick, I don't see too many feuds coming from this one. I don't know. Maybe Mike feels the same way. I kind of think he does. I know you're... You're not on the same page as me on this one, but it's hot right now. So I say strike while the iron's hot. Put him against Kofi right now before it cools down, so to speak. You know what
I'm
saying?
All right. Well, listen, Duck. That's your real name. So when Bray Wyatt first did the Firefly Funhouse, everybody hated that. And I said, can we just wait? Can we, like, give it a few weeks before we decide it totally sucks?
Brian was the only person, by the way.
I was the only person on this planet that said that. Everybody else. Well, now The Fiend has debuted. I think it's fine. Let's give it some time. Like, if it sucks, it'll suck. But he's had one match, and when it was over, the fans chanted, that was awesome. So I wouldn't give up on it yet. The guy's 32. Back in a moment. Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Jim Valley joining us today. Got a big show coming up tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow, each and every Saturday, we're live, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. You can call 1-800-878-PLAY-TALK. You can tweet me at Jim Valley, and we may have some big news if things don't break here before too long tomorrow.
It's coming soon, one way or the other, everybody.
Saturday mornings, do you drink Bloody Marys?
No, I got to do some good clean living so I can keep my head straight for a show and talk for an hour. We've been getting phone calls, got some good people calling and stuff. No, it's been really, really well received, and I appreciate that. So if you're out and about on Saturdays and you want to talk some more wrestling, Wrestling Observer Live is now live 7 days a week on Saturdays.
On SiriusXM as well.
Yeah, the Dan Patrick Channel.
Dan Patrick Channel on SiriusXM. You can hear it live every Saturday, so check it out. I want to mention this. It has nothing to do with anything modern, but It's just the craziest story that I never knew until this morning. So we're watching these retro Raw Nitros, and the Nitro this past Tuesday was absolutely wretched. And in the Observer, Dave said the Nitro show was better than New Blood Rising. And I was like, first off, that's impossible. Everybody's begging us to watch New Blood Rising. Watch New Blood Rising, blah, blah, blah. So being a man of the people, for the last time, by the way, because it's never happening again, I watched this stupid pay-per-view with Vinny. It is the most wretched pay-per-view. It's so horrible. Like, don't even watch it thinking, oh, it's going to be so bad it's funny. It ain't funny. It sucks. It's just bad. Just pure bad. Like, someday, I've mentioned this many times, someday you're going to be on your deathbed, and you're going to have, like, 3 hours left. And you're going to be thinking, you know, I'd have 6 hours left, but I watched New Blood Rising. So don't do that, everybody. Now, the point of all of this is, there's a Shane Douglas-Billy Kidman strap match, okay?
Oh, no.
It's a nothing-happening match. It's so boring. And the match ends, and Kidman wins. And Shane Douglas, first off, Kidman's supposed to be the babyface. If you haven't been following the shows, Kidman was trying to embarrass Tori Wilson by showing a sex tape that they had made on Nitro. He's supposed to be the babyface. She's crying. I'm like, this guy's the babyface? So they come to this show here, and after the match is over, Kidman gets a strap. He starts whipping Tori. Everyone's like, yay! And he's supposed to be the babyface. And Shane Douglas goes, and he makes a save for Tori Wilson. I'm like, this is so backwards. So then after Shane makes the save for Tori, he takes this leather strap and he wraps it around Kidman's neck. And we've seen the hanging in pro wrestling a million times. You hang the guy around the ropes and like he's got his fingers inside the strap. So he's like, he's actually holding on so he's not really getting choked and everything like that. So I am not making this up, everybody. He wraps his strap around Kidman's neck. And he climbs up onto the top rope or whatever. And he starts pulling on this thing. And Kidman at first has his fingers in. But then he doesn't have his fingers in. And the strap is only wrapped around his neck. And then he's hanging above the ring. His feet are not touching the ground. His hands are by his side. And he's slumped, okay? He looks like he's out, and his head is to the side, and his body is limp. He's hanging only by his neck, and his feet are off the ground. And Shane Douglas, like, somebody comes down to make the save or whatever, and Kidman's just body just dumps into the ring. And then, I forget, oh, it's Vito made the save. And so now Vito's running wild, and as Vito's running wild, Kidman stands up, and he just starts wandering across the ring. So I'm watching this, and I'm like, if I didn't know any better, I think that he was choked unconscious and he woke up and didn't know where he was and he just wandered across the ring. I'm talking about this on the show last night, okay? So I wake up this morning and not only do I get the news that I was talking about at the beginning of this show, but I get the text message from somebody who explains to me that, in fact, Kidman was choked unconscious in the middle of the ring. It was exactly what I thought happened. He got choked out. He woke up. He didn't know where he was. And he just stumbles across the ring. And I shouldn't say the best part, like, because this is one of the most appalling stories I've ever heard. He then gets yelled at for stumbling through the scene. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
He passed out for real.
He was out. For real. I swear to God, go back and watch it. And when you watch it, I mean, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
There's a reason it's dead. It was such a parody of everything.
That's incredible that I've never heard that story
before. I've never heard that story either.
You'd think that would have been like one of your chapters in Death of WCW.
Well, I mean, one of the things, if you watch the show, is like a couple of matches later, they do that stupid three-way where Goldberg stops selling and he walks out of the ring and the announcers start talking about how Well, he was supposed to go up for the powerbomb. And then there's the famous line by Tony Schiavone of, well, if the powerbomb was part of the story of this match, what are they going to do now? Improvise? It was just like, that was so, that three-way is one of the worst matches of all time. In the ring, and just like everything they did surrounding it, that like, I think by the end of the show, that's all everybody was talking about. So like all of the other stupidity on this show, it's like, it's a drop in the bucket. People were talking about the Mike Awesome Lance Storm match, which came afterwards, which was one of the worst booked matches of all time. And then the three-way with the shoot in the middle of the ring. And then there's a main event of Booker T and Jarrett, which is every Jarrett TNA match you've ever seen. It's just insufferable. 9 million, there's guitar shots, there's three ref bumps. It's just horrible. That by the end of the show, nobody's talking about Kidman, but that happened. That is what happened.
You know, it's amazing. We can sit there and talk about how concussion information has grown over the past several years, and oh, we didn't know, and maybe that's a flimsy excuse, but my point is, I'm pretty sure in 2001, people knew that depriving the brain of oxygen and having someone passed out was a bad thing, and maybe you don't yell at Kidman for passing out, maybe you show concern, but poor Billy Kidman, to pass out like that and then to be yelled at when it was probably just amazing that he was able to walk under his own power at all.
And hey, listen.
This is coming from a community, though, where, I mean, look at the chair shots. Look at the one they would use in ECW where, I think, who was it? Not Johnny Smith just stands there and gets brained. And like, how many times would these chairs at that time where it's like, you know, as bad as that was with Kidman, I mean, I'm not saying that exact same thing happened, but like, there were things like that happened on both of those shows, especially on Nitro, often.
Oh, dude, speeding out of buildings and cars on icy roads, and I mean,
receipts
Goldberg
being given to, I mean, just people in no condition, just
Goldberg
on and on.
Cutting his forearm open and virtually ending his career. And
well, and it's like some of the stuff,
craziness.
Too. Like, the other insult to injury with a lot of the stuff that would happen is, not on top of the fact that it sucked, it was poorly produced. Like, do you remember when Juventud had the match and he knocked out Liger with the tequila bottle, and that's all anybody really remembers from that show? But, like, on that same show, then they have all of the, like, the out-of-place segments that, like, got dropped in there that, you know, now his shoulder's not hurt because they pre-produce it. Just the whole thing, everything about that promotion became a parody, right down to the video game where you never wrestled in a ring, you only wrestled outside of it. There's a reason it died,
and it's sad, the blatant disregard for performers' health.
Yeah. I mean, dude, every time I watch one of those shows, it's like, do they care about anybody? And to be fair, I mean, it was both shows.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, yeah.
If you want to read,
the whole business.
I'm not going to sell the book on this, but like, if you know anything about what happened with Owen Hart, like,
yeah.
it is absolutely insane. Like, their idea was, we want to lower this guy from 90 feet above the ring. We want to lower him down, and when he's a few feet above the ring, he's going to do the quick release, and he's going to fall into the ring, a pratfall. So what that required was, he had to be in only the quick release at the top of the Kemper Arena. Sting, at least, like, it's kind of weird. Like, everybody made fun of the whole Sting and WCW deal because, like, he'd come from the rafters. It'd take him 5 minutes to get all of his stuff off. Well, all these heels are like, there's a force field around him. The heels can't get to him. And he'd finally get the stuff off and he'd start whacking people and everything like that. But the reality is, listen, keep these dudes safe.
Yeah.
If he has to come down and you got to put a force field around him and the heels have to pretend like they can't go after him until he gets everything off and it takes 30 seconds, like, either be fine with that or don't have the guy come down from the rafters. But to want to do some sort of angle that requires a guy to be 90 feet above the ring in only a quick release mechanism, that's the only thing, no backup, nothing. One cord with a quick release. That is madness. Madness. Both sides. It was insane. Hopefully, if we have another wrestling war coming up, we don't have any of that crap again. Spurs says, I'm sorry, but I take all sellouts with a grain of salt because scalpers snatch them up nowadays. I wanted to go to All Out, but will not pay $160 for a $30 seat. Well, my friend, when you write all in capital letters, you can't do that because the first several AEW sellouts, there was virtually no scalpers grabbing those tickets. Now the scalpers are starting to figure things out, so there are more on the secondary market. But like those first few shows, they just, wrestling fans bought all those tickets, period. That is what happened. It's going to change a little as time goes on, but it'll also ease up a little if all of a sudden they're not, you know, selling as many tickets as they are right now.
And yeah, I doubt all scalpers are wrestling fans that keep up on all the trends.
You cannot take these things with a grain of salt. If scalpers are buying them up, they're doing it on purpose because they think it's going to be a hot show. Now, if they're stuck with these on the secondary market, that's a different story. But the bottom line is, not only are real fans getting these, but even if they are going in the hands of scalpers, that means the product is hot, or at least it's got the potential to be. So you can't take it with a grain of salt.
And hey, I want to say one more thing about the Kidman deal. I didn't talk to Kidman, okay? I don't even know what happened. I mean, it is possible that he was supposed to have both of his fingers in and basically be doing like a pull-up the whole time, and like his fingers just slipped out. I'm not saying that they deliberately tried to hang the guy and kill him.
I mean, something went wrong.
I was just pointing out how insane the whole thing was and how I'd never heard about it before. I don't know, like Kidman could probably tell you like what actually went wrong or what was supposed to
happen. No, he couldn't. He probably can't remember
it. Well, there's probably that as well. But I mean, for the beginning of it, it looked like his fingers were in, but maybe his fingers just slipped out. I don't know what happened. All I know is it was completely insane. Let's see here. Really not a lot because so many of these, I mean, no one can listen right now, but we're going to have the replay up for free for everybody. So if you're listening to this, that's what happened. The stream went down, but we'll have it fixed for Jim's show. Basically, when the stream goes down, Sports Byline has to reset the router. And if they reset the router, we get kicked off. And if they reset the router and it doesn't work, we can't get back on. So it's easier for me to just barrel through the show and then put the replay up for free afterwards.
Well, let me do this in the last minute that we have here, and I will throw to Jim and say, Jim, Riho, Hikaru Shida, are you excited?
Oh, you know something? I am so excited for Japanese women's wrestling right now. With the connections that Stardom has made with everybody and what AEW is doing, it's going to be an exciting time for Japanese athletes to do what they do with no stereotypes, just to be themselves.
That's
awesome.
Right. Stand by. Back in a moment. I got an email here, which is actually a very brilliant statement this person made.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of ways you can look at it, but I know what he's saying, and he's right. He says, after reviewing New Blood Rising on the Brian and Vinny Show, one thing is clear. Wrestling is at its fakest when it tries to be too real.
That's
right.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yes.
That is brilliant. Yeah.
You want your wrestling to be real, but when you try to make it too real, you end up with this really fake, horrible stuff. God, that match was just so bad.
I want that up on like a picture with like a mountain in the background, like an inspirational poster.
It should be. Really? I should put that behind me right here.
Hallmark card.
That sounds like something Buddha would say. That's some wisdom right there.
Wrestling is at its fakest when it tries to be too real. Look at that.
Buddha could be Prince Iakea on the surfboard out there. That's be perfect. But yeah, you know what? It's not that hard sometimes, guys. It's just simulated.
Oh, they made
sport.
It hard.
I know, but it's not in a good way.
All right. Let's get some plugs out, Jim.
Tomorrow morning, 1 Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. We are live here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcasting Network, also on SiriusXM. Hopefully the stream will be back. I don't have texting, but you can tweet me during the show at Jim Valley on Twitter, or you can call the usual number, so we will have that. And it's great on Saturday because, you know, for example, the AEW shows are Saturday. The G1 was happening last weekend. Ring of Honor was on Friday, so there's a lot of things to talk about.
You'll be able to recap SmackDown here soon.
Exactly. Lots of stuff to talk about on Saturday, so be sure to check it out live.
All right, we're out of time, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Mike. Thanks to callers and listeners, everybody in the studio. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live.